through your other scriptures, taking one. And he spoke a parable unto them to the end that they are always to pray, not to faint. Faith. There was in the city a judge who feared not God and regarded not man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came all unto him saying, "Avenge me," which is vengeance, "avenge me of mine adversary." And he did not so apply. But afterward he said within himself, "For I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will render vengeance for her. I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear that the unrighteous right says, and shall not God avenge his elect that cry to him day and night, and yet he is long suffering over them? I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Revelation 6. Verse 9. "And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a great voice, saying, How long, O Master, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And it was given them to each one a white robe. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little time until their fellow servants also and their brethren, who should be killed even as they were, should have preserved their course." Now, notice, how long before you render vengeance? Now, chapter 16, chapter 16, "And the sword shall have its fall upon the rivers, and the fountains of waters, and it became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, Righteous art thou, who art and who wast, thou holy one, because thou didst thus judge. For they pour out the blood of the saints and prophets, and blood hast thou given them to drink, who are worthy. And I heard the altar saying, Yea, O Lord God, the Almighty, who and righteous are thy judgment." Chapter 18. Chapter 18. Verse 2. "And he cried with an mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great." In verse 20. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye saints, and ye apostles, and ye prophets. For God hath judged your judgment on her." Now, one other scripture, Matthew 23, perhaps I'll work in the other later. But Matthew chapter 23, verse 33. "Ye servants, ye offspring of vipers, how shall you escape the judgment of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them shall you kill and crucify, and some of them shall be scourged in your synagogues and purposes, and city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of Abel the righteous unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom he slew between the sanctuary and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." Let us keep God again in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful that instead of embarrassing us, you let us see those who were
judgment and to speak out rashly without thinking, and you have embarrassed other vows and grow that and grow far. So, Father, we trust that we shall have learned by your treatment of them, and we pray, our God, that whereas thy Son teaches a great variety of things, that we shall learn among them all about vengeance. So help us, our Father, to have a balanced understanding of it, we pray. Father, for those who are here, we're thankful that Brother Barnes is asking about. He's given him to us for a while longer. We can wish, Father, that you would give him the 15 years of Hezekiah that are good things happening the last year of his life. So bless our dear brother, and prepare our hearts to receive the truth, and empower us to look at the new truth to impart it. And we confess our sins, be patient and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as that is promised. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The last time I was here, I spoke to you about a remarkable prayer in hell. The rich man in hell, lifting up his voice and crying to his father Abraham to send an evangelist in hell to convert his five brothers at home. Remarkable, isn't it? Today, we have believers in heaven crying to God to send vengeance upon these sinners that are still on the earth. Who would have expected such a thing? Now, had it been reversed, had the ones in heaven been praying for the salvation of the lost? But we have the lost praying for the repentance of the lost, and we have the righteous in heaven praying for the vengeance of God to fall upon the lost. That's why this is the word of God. No man would have ever laid it out this way. A proofreader would have said, Revelation 6 has to go. You have to bring it into conformity with, love your enemies. Pray for them their persecution. That is what our Savior teaches. But, understand this, that vengeance is as much a part of the nature of God as justification by faith. You say, how can that be? You don't realize this. But the word justification is the same root word as vengeance. You say, you mean that when they pray for vengeance, they're praying for justification? Tell me, could God ever close his ears to a truly repentant sinner crying for salvation? God be merciful to me, a sinner. Could he do that? He said, impossible. Why for? Because God is love. But at the same time, if sinners will not repent, is it possible for God to enable them to escape the judgment of hell? Impossible. One is as essential to the nature of God as the other. And that is what Christians fail to understand. Listen, the word depraved is the word that is translated, and I will try to simplify it for you. The word depraved is translated justice or vengeance or punishment. And the word depraved is translated vengeance. And the word dikaios is justification. Dikaiosune, it's the same root word. Now, the word dikaios is justice, and the word ekdikaios is judgment meted out. And for that reason, justice meted out is what? Vengeance, the same word. And for God not to save us to repent, would be a contradiction as to what God is. And for God to praise those who do not repent and not visit repentance would be a contradiction. those who believe, damnation of those who refuse to believe. He says, so then, that is good, and I rejoice, but will I ever think that way? That is why I read you those passages from the book of Revelation, showing you that we, when we die, because when we get to heaven, we will be able to think and know as we should. Is that right? You say, yes, there are times in heaven. You say, there are times as angels. So then, if we are down here like goats, then I could understand, but they are in heaven now. And when we cry for vengeance in heaven, does God rebuke them as he did the disciples in Luke 9, when the disciples said, you want us to call down fire from heaven upon these Samaritans that won't let you go through? The Lord Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are. But they're in heaven calling down the vengeance of God, and not one word of rebuke is given them because it is entirely in order. And then I also will see about the angels' judgment when the vengeance of God falls. They say, true and righteous are your judgments. And the altar that demanded the cry of vengeance with a cry, but says, yea, everything that you do, O God, is right. Now that hurts your life. I'm thinking about some of us who may have friends and loved ones who will never trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. And you say, I can't live in heaven knowing that they're in hell. Not only will you live in heaven with joy and peace, but you will understand perfectly the ways and works of God, and you will join in the chorus and say, true and righteous are thy judgment. I promise you that. Not now. You may never be able to bring yourself to accept it. But I promise you that when you get to heaven, you will understand as God understands, and as angels understand, and as those in their right mind, those martyrs understand. And that is why I read to you from Matthew chapter 23. Because it says in Ecclesiastes, because sentence against an evil work is not carried out speedily, therefore the hearts of the Son of Man are pressing them to do evil. It isn't carried out speedily. God never carries it out speedily. God says, I have plans for you, Abraham, but it can't be done now. The iniquity of the Amorites is not full. God knows exactly how long a man can go on before his judgment falls, but inevitably it will fall. Here is the earth in Genesis 6. It's corrupt. In the imagination of the thought of the heart of man is only evil continually. And finally God says, the end of all flesh is come. But he waited. And finally, after all the years of sodomy and vileness in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, after God had heard what was going on, he put it in language that you can understand. He said, I will go down and certainly see if the report of it is correct. And when he went down and looked things over, he said, it's just as bad as was reported to me. And fire and brimstone fell. So do not think that vengeance coming from God is a strange thing. It is something that is as essential for those who will not repent as justification is for those who do repent. And the one to be missing is a contradiction of the balance of the attributes of God. And so when you speak of vengeance, you are talking about the outworking of righteousness. The word dikaio means to are pronounced righteous, to proclaim righteous, and the word exegesis is the outworking of that righteousness, and it is translated vengeance in the Word of God. And please note that in the parable I read to you in Luke 18, it is the Lord Jesus who is talking about vengeance. here is this widow here in the city has been done an injustice, and she wants vengeance. And she comes to an earthly judge. She regards not man. She fears not God. What can this widow do to me? No bribe, no influence, not concerned with her at all. But she keeps coming, 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 coming. And finally, this unrighteous judge says, she's going to wear me out. I'm going to do what she wants and get rid of the man. And the Lord Jesus says, now here's what the unrighteous judge says. If an unrighteous judge will do this for a woman who has no influence, how much more shall your heavenly Father, the righteous judge, and your crying out for vengeance, how much more shall your righteous Father avenge his elect? Do you remember that? The Lord Jesus said, and shall not God avenge his elect that cry for him day and night? We are listening to God's elect in heaven crying out, avenge me of my adversary. And the Lord Jesus said, shall not God avenge his elect? The Savior is teaching us in Luke 18. It said, yea, he will avenge them speedily. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find this kind of faith, the faith on the earth, that kind of faith, the faith to always pray and not think, to see the vile, the sinners, the miscreants of the world, committing horrid sins and getting by with it, nothing we've ever done, and we are crying to God day and night, do us vengeance that I have to say. And the Lord Jesus said, shall not God avenge his elect? He says, he's going to do it. He will avenge them speedily. So, when God does avenge his elect that have been crying through him, is it some strange thing? That's what you've been praying for. And that is why I read you in Revelation, which said, you apostles and prophets and righteous men, God has worked your judgment upon us. And so all this vengeance that is going to take place in the coming day is an answer to the prayer of apostles and prophets and righteous men, and God is going to fulfill the promise that his Son made in Luke chapter 18. God will avenge them speedily. But now, as your faith praying, you believe that God is going to let all these sinners in the world get by with what they're doing? Think of calling the millions of people. Think of Hitler, the millions of people. What has ever done to them? I look at Stalin, the way that he passed in the scene, and only at the last, Hitler commits suicide. You think God has forgotten those things? Of course he hasn't forgotten. But now, here's what I want you to understand. That for hundreds of years, sinners lived and died before the flood came. But there was one generation living when the flood came, and God's wrath and vengeance fell upon that generation. There were vile sinners who lived in Sodom, but they lived and died. But finally the time came when God's vengeance fell on that generation. And think of all the Israelites who lived and died and escaped the judgment of God. But finally, the Lord Jesus said, all these things will come upon this generation. And in AD 70, we've already spoken of it in a parable, in Matthew chapter 22, it says, when the king made a marriage supper for his son, and sent out invitations, and those invited would not come, and they mistreated the ones that invited them. It says the king was wroth, and he kill those murderers and destroy their city. That was in AD 70. And so it finally happened. Notice, the Lord Jesus spoke about the blood of righteous Abel to the death of Zechariah, whom you see between, and he mentioned these things that happened, and he said, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now understand, that the promise of the coming of Christ had been for thousands of years, but finally, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, and the shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night, and they were that generation when Christ was born. And in like manner, these Israelites that lived and died before AD 70, but finally, the wrath of God fell in AD 70. And in like manner, God's wrath is going to come, as the Lord Jesus describes in Matthew 24, there shall be tribulation, great tribulation, the like of which has never been experienced before. And the Lord Jesus said, this generation is going to experience. So, for some, and thank God, and our hope is to be among that generation, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I hope I am in that generation when the Lord decides to come. I would have enjoyed so much being in that generation when he was born. I miss that. I have the chance to be among that generation when he comes again. But some are going to be in the great tribulation, and then they are going to experience to the full just what the saints of God have prayed for and have not been able to understand the injustices that go on in the world. But God is going to correct every wrong, and nothing shall be left wrong that shall not be right. So just remember, Stalin will suffer the agonies of hell, and Hitler will suffer the agonies of hell, and it says, their course shall be in the lake of fire. And the statisticians are not sure how many millions, how many hundreds of thousands were killed. When the books are opened, God will have the death of everyone for whom murderers have been responsible, and that will be put down against them, and their part will be in the lake of fire. So remember that. All who reject Christ, their portion will be the lake of fire, but their part will be different in the lake of fire. And so for that reason, the Lord Jesus speaks about the vengeance of God for him. Now, I want to bring another thing to your attention. I didn't read these verses, but I want you to see how the vengeance of God is taking place now. You'll find in Romans 12 and in Romans 13 about avenge not yourselves, brethren, but give place to the vengeance, the wrath, the retribution of God. So it says, if your enemy hungers, feed him. So that is the way that we are to do. We are not to give retribution. But what people fail to understand is this, that in Romans 13, Romans 12, it says, we are not to take vengeance, because God said, and he's quoted from Deuteronomy 32, remember, Deuteronomy 32, Hebrews 10, and Romans 12, all give the same fault. Vengeance is mine, I will recompense, saith the Lord. See, in Deuteronomy he says it. Also, Psalm 94, vengeance, O God, vengeance, O God, is throughout the entire scripture. And finally it says it in Deuteronomy and in Hebrews 10 and in 1 Corinthians 12, God is going to take vengeance. But he says, it is not for you Christians to take vengeance. But in Romans 13, it says, obey the higher authorities, because they are ministers of God to thee for good, avenging the evil doers. See, that's a word again. The word avenging is taking vengeance on the evil doers. What does it mean? It means this. And I've seen some, when a man has raped and killed and he's ready to be executed. Somehow after 10 or 20 years, every appeal is failed, and now they're finally going to execute it, and you'll see people marching around the jail. No, no, let him live. Understand that the death penalty is that which is ordained of God. It says in Genesis chapter 9, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And he said that whenever anyone was killed in the land of Israel, that blood must be dealt with, because if not, the judgment of God will fall upon the land. And think of all the murderers that are escaping, and people think that they are doing right. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Lord Jesus said, verily I say unto you, the wrath, the judgment of God, shall fall upon this generation. And so, what will they do then when they are marching in protest against something that God has ordained from the beginning? We are created in the image and likeness of God, and human life is precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faith and is the death of every creature of God. And for that reason, God says, vengeance has to be taken. Why? Because vengeance is the righteousness, the holiness of God in action. That's what we fail to understand. Holy, holy, holy. You say God is holy. And the righteousness of God that justifies the repentance and just condemns those that will not repent. This is what it says in Romans chapter 2. He says, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, thy treasures up for thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the righteous revelation of God's judgment. You see, God, in his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, is trying to bring the man to repentance. But it says, if man will not, then he treasures up to himself wrath against the day of wrath. So do not think because judgment is not executed speedily when something evil is done that God has forgotten about it. God remembers those sins, and in his time and in his way, he will deal with them. But what the Savior is saying to you is, when I come back, I wonder if men will have that perseverance to keep crying to God to right things that are wrong. I wonder if that kind of faith will be in the hearts of men when I return again. Notice, he does not say it shall be, he said, shall it be? Just as it says in 1 John 2, and now little children, abide in him, that if he shall appear, he may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Sons and Christ's sons will be like Peter when he denied the Lord. Shame and embarrassment. And some of us would have given up any thoughts about God ever doing anything to right the wrong. But the Lord Jesus said, I'm telling you to pray, to cry to God day and night, because God shall avenge his elect. And those under the altar in Revelation 6 were saying, how long? The mighty one, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And this is what he said. Wait a little time. Take this white robe for consolation, and you wait. There are others that have to die the same way you do. And then that prophet is fulfilled. He said, then my wrath will fall. And that's why I read to you in chapter 16 and in chapter 18 that wrath did fall. Now, I told you that the vengeance of God is to be taken. If murder is committed, it says that the authority, the police, the judges, the judicial system, it says they are God's avengers. They are the ones that take vengeance in this life. They're God's ministers to us for good. What does it mean? It means that if someone murders my friend, I have no right to go and murder him. But I have no right to try to rescue him from the hands of the judicial system because they are the ones that take care of those things. When a man sins, a certain sin in the assembly, he is put out. That is our responsibility. But if that man has committed murder or rape, we do not judge him judicially. That is turned over to human authority. That is the vengeance of God in this life. That's the vengeance of God from heaven. It's like unto the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, AD 70, when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed, and like unto all the penalties that those that are in authority inflict upon man today. They are God's ministers unto us for good. Let us remember that. Now, there are those in Revelation 6 crying, how long, O God? And God says, yet a little time, I will render vengeance. He says it in Deuteronomy 32, vengeance is mine, I will recompense, saith the Lord. He says it in Romans 12, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense. He says it in Hebrews 10, vengeance is mine, I will recompense. Do you think God is going to say something three times and never do it? And so because it is believed, as they say in 2 Peter 3, where is the promise of his coming? Because all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation of the world. It is said, beloved, things are going to come. The Lord shall come. And all of those that are crying for vengeance, eventually that vengeance shall be taken. Now, this is what I did not read, but I want to bring to your attention. You'll find in 2 Chronicles 24, a man named Zechariah. And he cried in 2 Chronicles 24 when he was put to death of all things by Joash. It shows the ingratitude of the heart of man. Little Joash had been rescued by his aunt, Jehoshabeath, and her husband, Jehoiada, was a man of God, a priest. And he brought up little Joash, taught him the things of God, and Israel prospered. But finally, Jehoiada died at 130 years of age. Keep that in mind, Brother Barnes, 130 years of age. But when he died, a bad influence came and spoke to Joash and perverted all the teachings of Jehoiada, and he brought in vileness and corruption and sin that never was tolerated while his uncle Jehoiada was still alive. And now, Jehoiada's son, Zechariah, rises up and he says, why are you doing this? Do you not understand that the wrath of God will fall upon you? And Joash said, put him to death. And he was put to death. But as he died, this is what Zechariah said. He said, God, look upon it and requite it. And this had been forgotten for hundreds of years. But in Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus said, it has not been forgotten. The first man who ever died, Abel, the blood of righteous Abel, the Lord Jesus said, this hasn't been forgotten. And Zechariah, I heard your prayer when you said, vengeance, to look upon it and require it. I didn't forget it. It said, all these things shall come upon this generation. And the Lord Jesus, after so many hundreds of years, says, it's going to happen. And it's getting closer and closer. In Revelation 6, how long? Yet a little time. And finally, it does come, and the wrath of God and the vengeance of God falls. And that is why God would speak to men today, because vengeance is inevitable. Justification, when a sinner cries to God, yes, justification by faith. Condemnation, if man will not repent. And the Lord Jesus said, how shall you escape the judgment of hell? And there is no escape if you will not trust Christ as Savior. Vengeance, it's going to come. It may come in this life. It says some men sin by their evidence they are taken care of. Other men sin, they follow after. But God keeps an account of them all. He wants things to be dealt with by the authorities in this life. Sometimes they escape the judgment, the correct penalty for sin, that they shall not escape in the life to come. And so vengeance, it is something that God has demanded from the beginning of time, and ultimately it shall be carried out. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense. Let us have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that we fear as we think of this ultimate vengeance of thine, the wrath that shall fall that particular generation. And we think of those generations, Father, who think all is well because they have escaped that wrath on earth. We remember the rich man. He was clothed in gay clothing. He carried sumptuously every day. but he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Our Father, your vengeance is coming. You are a God of righteousness. And we know that there are watchers in heaven that look down upon the actions of men and cry out for righteousness to be executed. So we are thankful, our Father, that we understand about your righteousness. The righteousness that justifies the believers and the righteousness that keeps vengeance on those who with hardened and impenitent hearts will not accept your offer of mercy. So Father, let us take it to heart and let us remember that yet there is time. And so we cry to thee as Paul did for the salvation of those who are yet alive. He speaks the truth in Christ. He lies not. He positions himself accursed. And he says, my prayer and supplication to God for Israel is that they may be saved. And for us who have loved ones who are lost, friends who are lost, a world that is filled with lost sinners, we cry to thee, O God, save them, we pray. But if they will not be saved, let us understand that cry for vengeance, and let us understand your answer to that cry. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Our Father, work things together for good, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Me neither.